Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
the true motive in service, take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. The words of Christ on the Mount were an expression of that which had been the unspoken teaching of his life, but which the people had failed to comprehend. They could not understand how, having such great power, he neglected to use it in securing what they regarded as the chief good. Their spirit and motives and methods were the opposite of his. While they claimed to be very jealous for the honor of the law, self-glory was the real object which they sought, and Christ would make it manifest to them that the lover of self is a transgressor of the law. But the principles cherished by the Pharisees are such as are characteristic of humanity in all ages. The spirit of Phariseeism is the spirit of human nature, and as the Savior showed the contrast between his own spirit and methods and those of the rabbis, his teaching is equally applicable to the people of all time. In the days of Christ, the Pharisees were continually trying to earn the favor of heaven in order to secure the worldly honor and prosperity which they regarded as a reward of virtue. At the same time, they paraded their acts of charity before the people in order to attract their attention and gain a reputation for sanctity. Jesus rebuked their ostentation, declaring that God does not recognize such service, and that the flattery and admiration of the people which they so eagerly sought was the only reward they would ever receive. When thou doest alms, he said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. In these words, Jesus does not teach that acts of kindness should always be kept secret. Paul the Apostle, writing by the Holy Spirit, did not conceal the generous self-sacrifice of the Macedonian Christians, but told of the grace that Christ had wrought in them, and thus others were imbued with the same Spirit. He also wrote to the church at Corinth and said, your zeal hath stirred up very many. Christ's own words should make his meaning plain, that in acts of charity the aim should not be to secure praise and honor from men. Real godliness never prompts an effort at display. Those who desire words of praise and flattery and feed upon them as a sweet morsel are Christians in name only. By their good works, Christ's followers are to bring glory not to themselves, but to him through whose grace and power they have wrought. It is through the Holy Spirit that every good work is accomplished, and the Spirit is given to glorify not the receiver, but the giver. When the light of Christ is shining in the soul, the lips will be filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. Your prayers, your performance of duty, your benevolence, your self-denial will not be the theme of your thought or conversation. Jesus will be magnified, self will be hidden, and Christ will appear as all in all. We are to give in sincerity, not to make a show of our good deeds, but from pity and love to the suffering ones. Sincerity of purpose, real kindness of heart, is a motive that heaven values. The soul that is sincere in its love, wholehearted in its devotion, God regards as more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir. His, not mine, are the gifts, and only so far can I make them mine as in giving I add my heart to whatever is given. We are not to think of reward, but of service. Yet kindness shown in this spirit will not fail of its recompense. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. While it is true that God himself is a great reward that embraces every other, the soul receives and enjoys him only as it becomes assimilated to him in character. Only like can appreciate like. It is as we give ourselves to God for the service of humanity that he gives himself to us. No one can give place in his own heart and life for the stream of God's blessing to flow to others without receiving in himself a rich reward. The hillsides and plains that furnish a channel for the mountain streams to reach the sea suffer no loss thereby. That which they give is repaid a hundredfold, for the stream that goes singing on its way leaves behind its gift of verdure and fruitfulness. The grass on its banks is a fresher green, the trees have a richer verdure, the flowers are more abundant. When the earth lies bare and brown under the summer's parching heat, a line of verdure marks the river's course, and the plain that opened her bosom to bear the mountain's treasure to the sea is clothed with freshness and beauty, a witness to the recompense that God's grace imparts to all who give themselves as a channel for its outflow to the world. This is the blessing of those who show mercy to the poor. The prophet Isaiah says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." The work of beneficence is twice blessed. While he that gives to the needy blesses others, he himself is blessed in a still greater degree. The grace of Christ in the soul is developing traits of character that are the opposite of selfishness, traits that will refine, ennoble, and enrich the life. Acts of kindness performed in secret will bind hearts together and will draw them closer to the heart of him from whom every generous impulse springs. The little attentions, the small acts of love and self-sacrifice that flow out from the life as quietly as the fragrance from a flower, these constitute no small share of the blessings and happiness of life. And it will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of others, however humble and uncommended here, is recognized in heaven as the token of our union with him, the King of Glory, who was rich yet for our sakes became poor. The deeds of kindness may have been done in secret, but the result upon the character of the doer cannot be hidden. If we work with wholehearted interest as a follower of Christ, the heart will be in close sympathy with God, and the Spirit of God moving upon our spirit will call forth the sacred harmonies of the soul in answer to the divine touch. He who gives increased talents to those who have made a wise improvement of the gifts entrusted to them is pleased to acknowledge the service of his believing people in the Beloved, through whose grace and strength they have wrought. Those who have sought for the development and perfection of Christian character by exercising their faculties in good works will in the world to come reap that which they have sown. The work begun upon earth will reach its consummation in that higher and holier life to endure throughout eternity. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The Pharisees had stated hours for prayer, and when, as often came to pass, they were abroad at the appointed time, they would pause wherever they might be, perhaps in the street or the marketplace, amid the hurrying throngs of men, and there in a loud voice rehearse their formal prayers. Such worship, offered merely for self-glorification, called forth unsparing rebuke from Jesus. He did not, however, discountenance public prayer, for he himself prayed with his disciples and in the presence of the multitude. But he teaches that private prayer is not to be made public. In secret devotion, our prayers are to reach the ears of none but the prayer-hearing God. No curious ear is to receive the burden of such petitions. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Have a place for secret prayer. Jesus had select places for communion with God, and so should we. We need often to retire to some spot, however humble, where we can be alone with God. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. In the name of Jesus we may come into God's presence with the confidence of a child. No man is needed to act as a mediator. Through Jesus we may open our hearts to God as to one who knows and loves us. In the secret place of prayer, where no eye but God's can see, no ear but his can hear, we may pour out our most hidden desires and longings to the Father of infinite pity, and in the hush and silence of the soul, that voice which never fails to answer the cry of human need will speak to our hearts. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He waits with unwearied love to hear the confessions of the wayward and to accept their penitence. He watches for some return of gratitude from us as a mother watches for the smile of recognition from her beloved child. He would have us understand how earnestly and tenderly his heart yearns over us. He invites us to take our trials to his sympathy, our sorrows to his love, our wounds to his healing, our weakness to his strength, our emptiness to his fullness. Never has one been disappointed who came unto him. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. O dull of heart, enclosed doth lie in each "Come, Lord," a "Here am I." Thy love, thy longings are not thine, reflections of a love divine. Thy very prayer to thee was given, itself a messenger from heaven. Those who seek God in secret, telling the Lord their needs and pleading for help, will not plead in vain. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. As we make Christ our daily companion, we shall feel that the powers of an unseen world are all around us, and by looking unto Jesus, we shall become assimilated to his image. By beholding, we become changed. The character is softened, refined, and ennobled for the heavenly kingdom. The sure result of our intercourse and fellowship with our Lord will be to increase piety, purity, and fervor. There will be a growing intelligence in prayer. We are receiving a divine education, and this is illustrated in a life of diligence and zeal. The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, its power by daily earnest prayer will have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. By maintaining a connection with God, we shall be enabled to diffuse to others through our association with them the light, the peace, the serenity that rule in our hearts. The strength acquired in prayer to God, united with persevering effort in training the mind in thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepares one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances. If we draw near to God, he will put a word in our mouth to speak for him, even praise unto his name. He will teach us a strain from the song of the angels, even thanksgiving to our heavenly Father. In every act of life, the light and love of an indwelling Savior will be revealed. Outward troubles cannot reach the life that is lived by faith in the Son of God. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen looked upon their prayers as having in themselves merit to atone for sin. Hence the longer the prayer, the greater the merit. If they could become holy by their own efforts, they would have something in themselves in which to rejoice, some ground for boasting. This idea of prayer is an outworking of the principle of self-expiation, which lies at the foundation of all systems of false religion. The Pharisees had adopted this pagan idea of prayer, and it is by no means extinct in our day, even among those who profess to be Christians. The repetition of set customary phrases when the heart feels no need of God is of the same character as the vain repetitions of the heathen. Prayer is not an expiation for sin. It has no virtue or merit of itself. All the flowery words at our command is not equivalent to one holy desire. The most eloquent prayers are but idle words if they do not express the true sentiments of the heart. But the prayer that comes from an earnest heart, when the simple wants of the soul are expressed, as we would ask an earthly friend for a favor, expecting it to be granted, this is the prayer of faith. God does not desire our ceremonial compliments, but the unspoken cry of the broken heart, and subdued with a sense of its sin and utter weakness, finds its way to the Father of all mercy. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. The fasting which the Word of God enjoins is something more than a form. It does not consist merely in refusing food, in wearing sackcloth, in sprinkling ashes upon the head. He who fasts in real sorrow for sin will never court display. The object of the fast which God calls upon us to keep is not to afflict the body for the sin of the soul, but to aid us in perceiving the grievous character of sin, in humbling the heart before God, and receiving His pardoning grace. His command to Israel was, "Rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God." It will avail nothing for us to do penance or to flatter ourselves that by our own works we shall merit or purchase an inheritance among the saints. When the question was asked Christ, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" He answered, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." Repentance is turning from self to Christ. And when we receive Christ, so that through faith He can live His life in us, good works will be manifest. Jesus said, "When thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret." Whatever is done to the glory of God is to be done with cheerfulness, not with sadness and gloom. There is nothing gloomy in the religion of Jesus. If Christians give the impression by a mournful attitude that they have been disappointed in their Lord, they misrepresent His character and put arguments into the mouth of His enemies. Though in words they may claim God as their Father, yet in gloom and sorrow they present to the world the aspect of orphans. Christ desires us to make His service appear attractive as it really is. Let the self-denials and the secret heart trials be revealed to the compassionate Savior. Let the burdens be left at the foot of the cross, and go on your way rejoicing in His love who first loved you. Men may never know of the work going on secretly between the soul and God, but the result of the Spirit's work upon the heart will be manifest to all. For he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Treasures laid up on earth will not endure. Thieves break through and steal. Moth and rust corrupt. Fire and storm sweep away your possessions. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure laid up on earth will engross the mind to the exclusion of heavenly things. The love of money was the ruling passion in the Jewish age. Worldliness usurped the place of God and religion in the soul. So it is now. Avaricious greed for wealth exerts such a fascinating, bewitching influence over the life that it results in perverting the nobility and corrupting the humanity of men until they are drowned.
Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. Just want to welcome each and every one of you to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. Let us start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. Lord, we thank you for the preparation day that we have went through, O Lord. Please forgive us where we have come short and where we have not prepared as we should, O Father. Teach us how to keep the Sabbath. Teach us how to prepare, and it should start from Sunday, Lord. Help us, Father, to be obedient unto you. Help us and convict us of sin, of unrighteousness, of our iniquity, O Father, so that we can run to you, so that we can repent of these sins, O Lord. We ask for a special blessing this Sabbath, O Father, on each and every one that's on now, those that will be joining us, on our family, especially our children, Lord, the wayward one, O Father, that are not following you, Lord, that have went back into the world. O Father, I pray that you will turn, that their hearts will be turned to you, Lord, that they will seek you, Father, and that they will repent and give their hearts to you. Please help us to be loving, kind, and patient to them and each and every one we come in contact with. Help us to truly be an example unto others, O Father, but we have to eat from your table, Lord. We have to fill ourselves with your word, and we have to want to be like you so that we can represent you rightly. Bless us again, protect us and guide us, be in the midst of us as we gather here. May your Holy Spirit be with us, Lord. Bless the speaker. We ask that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit also, Lord. Bless his family, his friends, and his ministry as a whole, Father. We all have a ministry, whether it be in the home or outside of the home, Lord. Please prepare us each and every day to do thy will. May thy will be done in our hearts, in our home, in our community, at our job, in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, blessed Sabbath, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I know we're starting a little late. The Lord said, where there's two or three gathered, he's in the midst. And yes, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And we know there's angels that are taking records. They're recording angels. There are guardian angels with it, which are with us also. So we thank the Lord for that. And I'll share a verse. And please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, so that you can share also. And I will share Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. It says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. So we have to get, you know, not that we want praises, but when anyone says, thank the Lord for you, you know, or you're doing good for the Lord, you know, let another person praise us and not ourselves. Let that praise, and because the Lord said men will glorify, you know, him, and, you know, when, and us that are doing things, they said, praise the Lord that, you know, you have came into my life or whatever it is, the situation. So let us, someone else praise us and not we ourselves. Psalms 145, starting at verse 1, it said, I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy work to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. And that was verse 4, and I'll skip to verse 8. It said, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his work. All thy work shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. So we see all the Lord's work shall praise him, and we are his handiwork. We are his work also, and we are his saints, so we ought to praise the Lord. Verse 11, it said, they shall speak, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the Son of Man his mighty acts and to the, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. So let us praise the Lord, because we know his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and endureth through all generations. Amen. Again, please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading. Excuse me, so that you can share. We know this is sharing time. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And we ought to praise him and thank him for just being God and God alone. Thank him for the blessed week we have. We're still here. We still have breath. We're still able to move. We have our being. So we should be giving God glory and praise and honor for that. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, or happy preparation day if the sun has not set in your area. I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-482. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers
Amen.
And sisters. Happy Sabbath to each one. This is Carla. Happy Sabbath to you, especially.
Thank you.
I have a harder voice for time. Thank God, we and God has kept us safely through the week. This is Sister Cancinelli from Upstate New York, and I just love the Sabbath. I just love this Sabbath. When the Sabbath comes around, I'm the happiest person. And I just want to thank God for my life, which he has stayed, protected. He was with me in my going out, in my coming in. You know, and God is so good. I don't want to take too much of time to express the goodness of God, but I could just say God is good, God is good, and God is really good to me because he has kept me safely through the week. And I love thy Sabbath. I love the Sabbath. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So we see how important here the Sabbath is. Even those your friends may come to visit, strangers, you don't know them, may come and spend a little time with you. But even them are to keep the Sabbath. This commandment goes on to give reason for this. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Sabbath, as we see, is a memorial of creation, and thus was blessed and hallowed. This was done at the end of creation. I'm going to sing this song that I love so much. I hope all of us love it, and if you know it, you could sing it together with me. We love thy Sabbath, Lord. We love thy Sabbath, Lord, and worship at thy will. Oh, may these hours sweet peace afford and deeper faith instill. Thine angels sang for joy, creation's worth to see. We to this day would raise our hearts in grateful praise to thee. O great Creator King, through thy redeeming grace, renew and sanctify our hearts that we may see thy face. And with the white robe thrown upon Mount Zion, and joyful sing our Sabbath song through all eternity. Thank you, Lord, for your Sabbath. Rome changed the day to Sunday and cleansed the bee. That would be the mark of the beast when we have to be worshiping, when the day would be changed from Sabbath to Sunday. That would be the mark of the beast. And all of us on this line tonight will have to make a conscious decision to either worship the beast or to worship God. And I pray this evening that the Lord will give us that strength, and he will prepare all of us on this line, that when that time comes for us to make that decision, not to take the vaccine as we are seeing now, but to keep the Sabbath day holy, all of us on this line tonight will make that decision. And I'm going to say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy Sabbath day of rest, which has come down to this earth again. We thank you for keeping us safe, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings of this week. You have strengthened us. You have walked with us. You have protected us all on this line. And here we are, joining hearts and hands, giving you praise and thanks on this holy Sabbath day of rest. Bless us, Lord, and bless all the fallen brothers and sisters who would join here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Thank you for opening my
line. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for coming on and joining. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for your songs and just for you and your presence here. Yes, I'm sorry. last week I was in Iron City, Tennessee, and I had no reception out there, so I wasn't able to join. Yes, so I was in Iron City, and I'm not sure if the week ahead I was on or I wasn't able to join either. I'm not sure if I was out of town that week. But praise the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his love for each and every one of us and our family. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. And happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Time for sharing, brothers and sisters. Don't wait till it's too late or till the end. We want to hear your praise report. We want to hear your testimony, your songs, or if you want to say a word of prayer, prayers are always welcome, or, you know, a part of your devotion. Please press 1 at this time so that I can open your line. We know that God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And I just thank the Lord for my friends who are here visiting me this week, and they most likely will be leaving Sunday going to Arkansas. So I just thank the Lord for them and just for being able to have fellowship. We had Wednesday night prayer meeting at my neighbor's house, so that was a blessing. So I just thank the Lord for that. So please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture, read it so that I can open your line at this time. Okay. I see none has pressed 1 at this time. So I guess no one else would like to share. Is there no testimony? Is there no songs of meditation, brothers and sisters? Let's give God our praise. His praise and his glory is not our, ours meaning, you know, we're giving it to him, but it belongs to him. All glory and honor and praise belong to our Lord. He's King of King and Lord of Lord, and he is worthy to be praised. Sometimes, you know, inadvertently we praise people and things, but we know it belongs to God. So let's thank him for who he is and what he has done for us. Even the little things, he's worthy to be praised. And I'll go ahead and open the line for 272-770. Blessed Sabbath, your line is now open.
Okay, we are on the line. Good evening, Sister Carla. This is Sister Powell. I am on the line with Sister Tamiko. I was trying to get on the line, and I don't know what happened. You hearing me, Sister Carla?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I was saying that I'm on the line, on Sister Tamiko line. I was trying to get on, and I don't know what happened. I couldn't get on, so I just called her. So we're on a three-way call.
Yes, you know,
God
Hi,
is so good. He's great.
Amen.
He is worthy to be praised. I just thank God for this blessed Sabbath day, as I can join with my sisters and hear the goodness of God and how, you know, friends and families coming together in this form. God is so good. And I will just sing this song. And as we heard about the Sabbath, how important the Sabbath is, I just have this little book here, the Christ Object Lesson. And I was just glimpsing in it and see the Sabbath, what the Sabbath is for us and how we are going to worship the Sabbath even when Jesus comes. And this little reading, it said here, as I was reading, it said Isaiah 65:17-21 and also Isaiah 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which will make shall remain before me, and the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain, And it shall come to pass that from one new moon, brothers and sisters, to the other, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. So the Lord, how important the Sabbath is, and the Lord is telling us on that great day, you know, we will be worshiping and all flesh will come before him. And it also says, now you have seen God's plan for his people, and it is a wonderful one, and it can begin for you right now, and it is continue on throughout eternity. Why not today, this very week, ask God to forgive you for the past, and tell him that by his grace, you will worship your Creator on this day. This is the best decision you can make. Go to him just now, and he will help you make it. And the next Sabbath, begin that holy walk with God on his day. So God wants us, brother, my dear brothers and sisters, to walk with him, to be obedient with him on his Sabbath, and also for us to really get ourselves together, that when the Sabbath comes, you know, we are all here to worship the Sabbath in spirit and in truth. It is a blessed moment, brothers and sisters, when the Sabbath comes, when God allows us 6 days, right, toiling, right through, and when the Sabbath comes, you're trying to do all that you can relax, you know, and just, you know, bring in the Sabbath, and that's a wonderful feeling. And I will just sing this little song. I am just thankful that God has kept us safely through another week. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Day of all the week, the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week, the best, emblem of eternal rest. While we seek supplies of grace to the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face, take away our sins and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of forever lasting peace. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of forever lasting peace. May the gospel joyful sound conquer sin and comfort sin. Make the fruits of grace abound, bring relief to all complaint. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise to reign with thee. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise to reign with thee. Kind and loving, righteous Father, We, your children, come before you this moment. Thank you for this blessed Sabbath day that you have given each one of us. Thank you for safe traveling. Mercy throughout the week, Lord. And you brought us here this moment that we can sing songs of praise and share the blessings that you have poured out upon your children. And we just want to thank you that we have a loving Father who is in the most holy sanctuary right now, listening and hearing our request. Now, dear Lord, we place Sister Carla, who is our host tonight, Lord. We also place to you every names, Lord Jesus, that we have presented to you, every one of us, Lord. There are so many, and dear Lord, time, you know them, Lord, because time is not given unto us, dear Lord. We would like everyone to share, but you know every brothers and sister on this line. And we ask you, Lord, to cover us under your blood and help us to be faithful to you. And tonight, dear Lord, pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon us. Bless each one of us and also our family members, Lord, especially our youth, Lord Jesus. We lift them up to you this moment. Our ministers, Lord, our leaders, Lord, all over the world, dear. Those who are on the battlefield carrying out your work, your missionaries, Lord. We ask you for strength and encouragement so that they too, dear Lord, were able to go out and in the fields to draw others to you and to let others know about the blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto us and what the enemy is going to do by bringing a false Sabbath to the world. But Lord, you are in control, so we leave everything to you. We also leave, Lord, the fear and that is happening all around the world at this time, and even our brothers and our sisters who are working, Lord, and to hear what the threatening words coming for to them. If they do not take, they will not have a job. But Lord, help them to trust you just as the three evil boys, how they trust you and depend upon you, and you can do all things in their life. So Father, we just put our heart, our mind, our soul with you and in you, and peace to keep and guide and protect us, we pray. Bless us again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen. Hi, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath to all of my dear brothers and sisters.
Amen.
This is Tymeco from Pennsylvania, and I just wanted to share a song with all of my dear brothers and sisters, if I can. Amen. Walking in Integrity, taken from Psalms 26.
Judge me, Lord. How said my Lord. Observe my trust in you. In my integrity, examine me and put me to the test. My mind and heart refine, that my soul might be blessed. But as for me, determined I will be to walk eternally in my integrity. I do not sit with wicked men of life. I hate the company of those who truth defy. Jehovah, please don't take away my life with men who take delight in bribery and in strife. But as for me, determined I will be to walk eternally in my integrity. For I have loved the dwelling of your house, your worship of
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank
Amen.
You. I just want to share one little scripture with you. It's taken from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Yes, Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. It says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Follow my Sabbath, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with all my dear brothers and sisters. Have a happy and safe, blessed Sabbath. Love you all. God bless you. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Sister Tanika, and thank you, Sister Paola. I'm not sure why they won't let you on. You know, there's others that have called in, you know, and are calling in. So I'm not sure what's going on with your phone, Sister Paola. I don't know if you can call you on the phone. Mhm. Okay, we'll keep it in prayer. Okay, thank you. I'll go to the next caller again. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you, and it's good to be back on the prayer line. I was out of town last week where I didn't have reception, so I wasn't able to join, but I'm just thankful to see the numbers, familiar numbers, hear familiar voices, and just thanking the Lord for you. And it is just so it's so wonderful to worship in spirit and in truth. And, you know, just the name of Jesus is so sweet. He has given us, he said, no one can be saved except by Jesus. So his name is worthy to be praised, and his name is sweet, and we cannot be saved by no one else but by the name of Jesus. So we have to thank him. I'm going to go ahead and open the other line. Blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters, 631-552. Your line is now open.
Good evening. Happy Sabbath, each and everyone. Happy
Amen.
Sabbath, Sister Cola. Thank you for opening up my line. I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy and for his protective care through the long course of the week. And thank him for the provision that he has made in every situation. God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be worshipped always. I want to read from my devotion this morning that has been a blessing to me and has helped me throughout the day. It's from the book, Our Father's Care. My devotional that I've been reading from the start of this year. It's September 24th. It says, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 16:15. A terrible contest is before us. We are nearing the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That which has been held in control is to be let loose. The angel of mercy is folding his wings, preparing to step down from the golden throne and leave the world to the control of Satan, the king it has chosen, a murderer and a destroyer from the beginning. The principalities and powers of earth are in bitter revolt against the God of heaven. They are filled with hatred against all who serve him. We see that so much manifested in our time right now, especially since 2021. We see so much of the policies of the devil, not just in the United States of America, but globally. And soon, very soon, is to be fought the last great battle between good and evil. The earth is to be the battlefield, the scene of the final contest and the final victory. Here, where for so long Satan has led men against God, rebellion is to be forever suppressed. Christ came to this earth in human form that he might stand as the captain of our salvation, so that we should not be overcome by Satan's power. And when the enemy has seemed to be gaining a signal victory over righteousness, God has been working in mercy and power to counteract his design. Determined to efface the image of God in man, Satan works with an intensity of effort to hide God from view. Not openly does he work, but secretly, mingling the human and the divine, the spurious and the genuine, so seeking to bring confusion and distress. But in proportionate power, divine mercy is prevailed to counteract this wicked working and bring to light the enemy's hidden purpose. God's people are to bear a bold, decided testimony for the truth, unfolding the purpose of God by the witness of pen and voice. In place after place, they are to proclaim the message of God's word, arousing men and women to comprehend the truth. There is a reality in sound doctrine. It is not as vapor which passes away. Light is to shine forth from the word of God. God calls upon his people to draw near to him. Let no one interpose between him and his people. Christ is knocking at the door of the heart, seeking for entrance. Will you let him in? So Christ is knocking on the door of each one of us' heart, and we see that the contest is almost over. In spite of what we see going on, and it seems as if God doesn't care about what is going on, but God is behind the scene, and soon and very soon, all that which is going on will come to an end. God promised us that he will take care of us, and there's nothing for us to be afraid of, because we are on the brink of the eternal riches that Christ has promised to those who are faithful and true. And we see that it's not far-fetched. So why should we be afraid when Christ will come and set things in the right place? Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening up my line.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for coming on and sharing. Praise the Lord. God is worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. And I just thank you for sharing. I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters having a brotherly and sisterly love. We have known each other for years and years, and we're still coming together to praise the Lord and give him glory and honor. It's just a blessing. And I just want to read a couple scriptures before I open the line for, I believe, Brother Eli's next. And it says, and this is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we have to be, we have to first repent. We have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of our sins, so that we can receive the Holy Ghost. Because we know without the Holy Ghost, you know, what are we able to do? Because the Holy Ghost has been left as a comforter, a guide, a counselor to each and every one of us. And also Acts chapter 4, and I'll read verse 10 and 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and 18, it said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ as Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doeth this man stand here before you whole. So we see there was a healing, and that man was healed by the name of Jesus. And the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 18, it said, And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees trying to compel the people not to teach or speak in the name of Jesus. And the same thing will be going on in our days, brothers and sisters. So we have to stand strong. We have to be faithful
And we have to know that we have a Lord who loves us. And he said, call upon his name and he will hear us. But if we call him another name, will he hear us? He knows our hearts. He knows what we're going through. He knows our love for him. And he knows everything about us. Nothing can be hidden from him. So we have to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, which is due only to him. And, you know, call him by his name so that we can be saved, so that he can hear us, and so that we can truly say, this is our God, and we've been waiting for him. So I'll go ahead and open the line for Brother Eli. I believe it's 857-615. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Kala. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to all of you, beloved. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Kala, and my beautiful brothers and sisters on the prayer line. I like to thank God because God is good. He's awesome. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Kala. Sister Kala, today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day how the Lord has made, Sister Power. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sister Tamiko, Brother Tony, God will open doors for Brother Tony. What matter what Brother Tony is going through, God will open doors for him. Today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sister Kala, I have a lot of prayer requests. First of all, I'd like to thank God for his love, his mercy, because he is good. He is awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I have a lot of prayer requests. Sister Kala, my prayer request is to pray for me. Sister Kala, lift me up in prayer because I'm going to work on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm going to work, Sister Kala, at day programs. So lift me up in prayer. Sister Kala, please pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Kala. Pray for Brother Jahari. Pray for Brother Javel. Pray for Brother Jamal, Sister Kala. Jamal is from J-A-M-A-L. Pray for Brother Jamal. Pray for Sister Adelina. Lift for Sister Adelina in prayer because she needs a lot of prayer too, Sister Kala. Pray for Sister Adelina. Pray for Sister Nunchi, Sister Rachel. Pray for Brother Woody. Pray for Brother Stoney. Lift for Brother Stoney in prayer, Sister Kala, 7 and S. Pray for Brother Stoney. Pray for Brother Jahari. Lift for Brother Jahari in prayer, Sister Kala, because Sister Kala, the verse you say, Sister Kala, the verse you say, it's the baptized in the name of the Lord. Sister Kala, I don't know, can Sister Tamiko do a special prayer? I don't know, can she read Psalms 24 and can she do a special prayer for Brother Jahari, Brother Jamal? Pray for Brother Jamal, Sister Kala, because Brother Jamal is very nice to me, Sister Kala. Sister Kala, I like to thank God because God is good. God is awesome. God make and be kind to me. I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah, Sister Power. He's awesome, Sister Power. Sister Kala, can you tell Sister, what's her name? Sister Tamiko, do it for Brother Javel. When you open Sister Tamiko's line, can you tell her to pray for Brother Javel, Brother Jahari, Brother Jamal? I want to sing a song right now, Sister Kala. What a beautiful name it is. is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Sister Carla, sing, sing, brother, sister, sing, Sister Power, sing, Sister Power, sing, Sister Power, sing, sing, Sister Domingo. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death not hold him. Death not hold the name of him. Death not hold you. Death not hold it. The name of him. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing else. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Never now hold it. Never now hold it. Never. The name of what a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Hallelujah, Sister Carla. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Have faith in the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and sharing that song. Amen. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. The name of Jesus. Again, thank you, Brother Eli. I did take down those names, and we will, Sister Tymeka came on already, and we will have a prayer. We want to start on time. As long as our speaker is here, we want to start on time, brothers and sisters, so that we can be temporal, you know, we won't be intemporal about going to sleep on time and about having the Sabbath rest. Amen. So I'll go to the other caller again. Blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. I'll go to the other caller. 225-337. Your line is now open.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Sister Carla, for opening my line. I have a scripture I like to read, and it's coming from Luke chapter 20 and verse 38. And it says, "For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all liveth unto him." So I just want to read that because I believe that, brothers and sisters, that a body should not be brought in the house of the Lord. And as I read and study the word, the Lord says that he's not among the dead, but he's among the living. So why would we bring a dead body in the house? So I just want to thank the Lord for running across the scripture. I was actually listening to my Bible in my car, and I was, and when it came to that and when I heard it, I'm like, So I did some reading. I did some scriptures, and I did some other scriptures on this and saying that my house should be a house of prayers, and, you know, we shouldn't have a spirit, a dead spirit, because you know how the old saying, when the spirit is dead, God is not with that. God is, he loved joyful singing. He loved praise. He loved all these things that lift him up. So I just want to lift him up with a song, Give Me the Bible. And I'm just going to sing the one and fourth verse. Give me the Bible. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm not ready for it. I'm starting off wrong. But I just want to give God praise tonight. I want to thank him for the Bible. I want to thank him for his word. And I want to thank him for all the the everyone testimony and the songs that I've heard today. My voice is not set up to sing a song because I started off bad. So I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line, and I will just close out with that. If you want me to just give a short prayer, I can offer that. Amen? I can offer a short prayer now.
Amen. Okay. Amen. You didn't want to try the song?
My voice is, so no, I'm just going to offer a prayer.
Okay.
So let me offer a prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee on your Sabbath day, Father. First of all, we want to praise you. We want to thank you, Father, for bringing each and every one of us here today, that we are vocal on this prayer line, that we can give you honor and praise. We can sing. We can read the Bible, all these things, just to praise you, a living God, because Father, you have your breath in our body, and that we should lift up your word, lift up the song to praise you. So, Heavenly Father, I praise you, Father, for the Sabbath, for this Sabbath day. Praise you for the sisters and brothers. Praise you because this prayer line is still going on. So, Father, we praise you, as Brother Eli says, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And, Father, we also want to lift up our brothers and sisters that have not joined in yet. We ask that you touch their heart. Lord, if the message that we were here tonight, that it would be for us as a blessing, that we take this word seriously and to be obedient to you, Father. Oh, Father, I want to thank you for convicting my heart for one thing, keeping your Sabbath holy. Oh, Father, as we practice truth, as we practice these things and begin to accept what you have said, Father, you would strengthen us and you would lead and guide us. So please have mercy upon each and every one of us. And we ask that you send your Holy Spirit tonight to teach us, lead and guide us, and give us the sweet night's sleep. Bless Sister Carla, bless the speaker, bless each and every one of my sisters and brothers on this prayer line. We thank you and your son, Emmanuel's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line again. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing, and thank you for praying. We know that the Lord, he is worthy to be praised, and we know that Jesus loves each and every one of us, and he just wait for our praise and our adoration, and he just wait to hear us call his name, and you know, and to pray to him and to intercede for others. So again, I just thank you for the prayer. Thank you for your faithfulness, and may the Lord truly bless you. I'd just like to say hi to Sister Katie. I see that she's on. Happy Sabbath, Sister Katie. And is there anyone else that I overlooked that I guess there's no one else that would like to share. Okay, there's a song I was going to attempt to sing. We know a song is a weapon, and, you know, songs are it's a blessing, you know, to sing songs and to sing unto the glory of the Lord. And, you know, there's no one perfect, only one. And, you know, I just want to try this song. And it's 434. We Speak of the Realm. And I'll just sing a couple verses if, you know, for time's sake. We're still waiting on the speaker to come on. Amen. It says, we speak of the realm of the blessed, country so bright and so fair, and often its glories confess. But what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathways of gold, its wall decked with jewels so rare. It wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it be to be there?
We speak of the freedom of sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within. What must it be to be there? We speak of his service of love, of the robe which the glorified wear, of the church of the firstborn above. But what must it be to be there? Our moment is all at an end when, raised by the life-giving word, we see the new city descend, adore as a bride for the Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air, no gloom of affection of sin, no shadow of evil is there. Do thou midst temptations and woe, for heaven my spirit prepare, and shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright field we shall roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and Jesus himself shall be there.
Amen. And that's the New Jerusalem. It said Jesus himself shall be there, brothers and sisters. What a wonderful, it's just that new city. We should give allegiance to the Lord. You know, our general conference should be up in heaven and not upon earth, where men and sinful men and prideful men are ruling, but our general conference should be in heaven. Our allegiance should be in heaven, and to that bright city. Its wall is decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasure untold. Can you imagine what must it be to be there? We have to strive to be there, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. So I see no one else has pressed one. And I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Okay, Sister Katie has not pressed one. And I will ask Sister Powell for a prayer. I know she's Sister Powell or Sister Tamika. So I'll see if Sister Powell can pray, and if she can't, Sister Tamika can do it. But Sister Powell, can you give us a word of prayer? And I know that you're on the three-way or two-way. Amen.
Okay. So you'll let me in. Okay. All right, Father.
Yes, I can hear you.
Uh-huh. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, now is the time that we all can take part in this prayer. We are asking everyone to kneel or bow, offer a word of prayer for all of us and also the crisis that is around. Let's pray. O kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, we just want to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day that you have given us to your children. We just want to tell you, Lord, how much we appreciate your love, your kindness, your tender heart, your long suffering, your faith that you have with us. We want to thank you for every good gift that you have given unto your children, especially, Lord, in your protection while your children was on the busy roads, highway, and edges, Lord, and you brought us home safely, Father. Even myself, during 2 weeks straight, Lord, travel on those busy roads, dear Lord, and you took us and you brought us back. And we just want to say thank you. And I know each and every one of us travel to work, some travel to school, some travel all over, but dear Lord, you are there as their protector. You are here for us as our provider. You are here as our sustainer, and you are here as our helper. You are here as you have gave us instruction that we as your people, dear Lord, are your representative, your ambassador, your servant, so that we should be able to present your light out there, Lord. And we want to thank you, Father, because we know your sons and your daughter are doing your work, evangelizing, sharing books, tracts, and bringing cool, kind words to those who are really afraid or who are discouraged, Lord. We just want to thank you for how your work has been going out, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for even the sick, Lord, as you said, you wish above all things that your people will prosper, and you also told us that you heal all our diseases, and the diseases is down like a raging fire at this time, Lord, all over, and fear and distress, but Lord, we want to thank you that we have a loving Father who said, I wish above all things that you will that we will prosper. And you also said to us, you thank God when you heard that your children settled in the truth, Lord. So help us that we will acknowledge your truth and that we will go and share with others. So tonight, dear Lord, we present all these requests to you. The requests from our dear brother Eli, praising you and praying for each and every one of your children, Lord, Jamel, Javari, Jamari, his mother, himself, Isma, Palsiana, Lord, and all the others, them, and ourselves, Lord. He's praying for us on this line, every brothers and sister on this line. So we ask you, Lord, as we present all these requests to you, all these names, dear Lord, we have some names, dear, on this line. Dear Father, some of us have over 30 names, Father, some of 40 names, and we are asking you, as you have allowed us to roll those names down, dear Father, we are asking you, dear Lord, to pour out your blessings. And you know what each soul need, and you promise that you will supply them according to your riches and glory. So we leave them in your hands at this time. Now, dear Lord, we place our speaker. You know everything about him, Lord, he and his family. Lord, continue to bless him, keep him, and also, Lord, the ministry, dear Father. We ask you to supply their needs and a soul coming to know more about you. We ask you to pour your spirit upon them. Tonight, dear Lord, we leave everything in your care. And again, all these requests, Lord, we ask you to hear them and answer them where you are on this blessed Sabbath day. Help us, Lord, that we will keep our eyes fixed upon you, and we will worship you there in spirit and in truth throughout the whole day until sunset tomorrow evening, dear Lord, and also prepare for the next coming Sabbath. So bless us, we pray, and we thank you for hearing, and all those, dear Lord, on this line, they may not share what you know everything about. So we ask you for comfort for them and also to keep them. And also those who are listening on the internet, we ask you to pour your blessings upon them. And those who are here undecided, Father, we ask you to touch their heart this moment and allow them to surrender everything. Those who are studying, taking Bible studies, we ask you for the Holy Spirit to teach them, dear Lord, so that they will come to know you more and also to share your love. So bless us, we pray tonight, and we present the speaker again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sister Paula. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, also for joining. We, excuse me. Okay, my screen. Okay. Okay, we will hear a message, and I just missed it. My screen had went out, and we will hear a message. I'm sorry, just a moment. Just had it ready, and my screen went out. Pray that everyone has their Bible, pad, so that you can take you know, notes so that you can share it and go back and also read it also. And the title is Help from Above. We all know that we need help from above because there's no help on earth, help from below that can help us, but help from above. And this is a recording message from Evangelist Randy Skeet. Help from above. Amen.
Lord, how are the increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 3. God is good, and all the time. Say it again. God is good, and all the time. Ladies, God is good, and all the time. Gentlemen, God is good, and all the time. Everybody, God is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Which means, if truth will endure to all generations, one day error will come to an end. Along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Let me say that again. Truth will endure to all generations. Error will one day come to an end, along with those who persist in living their lives based on error. Good evening, everyone. How do you do? You look well. I missed you today. Why are you laughing? I just spoke the truth. Did you miss me a little bit? Just a little bit. Nothing more than that. All right. Well, let me stop begging and fishing. It's nice to see you. Who's with us for the very first time? Measure your hand. First time. First time since we began November 24. God bless you. God bless you. May the blessing of God sweep all over to enfold all those who raise your hands. You're with us for the first time. Who is with us tonight? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. May I see your hand? You're not an Adventist. Would you stand? Let's look you over. Please stand. You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. This is very impressive. If I had a microphone and I had the time, I would get everybody's name, but we don't have the time. God bless you. God bless you. all our guests on this side. God bless you and your families. God bless you on the main level. God bless you. God bless you. And all over here, God bless you, our non-Seventh-day Adventist friends. Thank you for coming. Let the church say, that's weak. Say it again. One more time. God is good. And all the time. Yes, my friends, please be seated. And we hope you'll make plans to come to see us again tomorrow. We are not tired of seeing you. I want to answer a question tonight. I was not moved to answer any questions last night for very obvious reasons, but I want to answer one tonight. It's very serious, particularly since I heard a comment from our speaker this morning, which was so appropriate. And before I answer the question, let's pray and ask God for wisdom. Loving Father in heaven, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." Father in heaven, as I answer a simple question, but a very important question, give me the words to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm summarizing the question. It is essentially this. Is it all right to be romantically involved with a member, someone not of the church, if there's some possibility for soul winning in that effort? Let me say that again. The question is it all right to be involved with someone not of the church if the possibility exists of winning the person to Christ? Now, the way the question was put is very clever, because it includes evangelism, which is why we exist. When God tells us to do something or not do it, we must obey God without one iota of negotiation. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. You may go there quickly. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It is a passage with which you are familiar. Here's what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now we can stop right there. Of course, the answer is none, none. And there are five such questions. Each question must be answered none. Now let's listen to it. Let's repeat one of the statements. What communion hath light with darkness? Now, let's go to Genesis 1. Quickly. Well, I won't wait. I'll just go right ahead. We read from verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Listen to verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. Listen carefully, and God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, God built a spiritual lesson. He does not want light and darkness coexisting. It is from this that Paul asks the question, what communion have light with darkness? He is drawing from Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, I say, God is teaching us. He wants light and darkness kept separate. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, when the Israelites were on the banks, they could see the promised land. Moses repeats. He goes over all the instruction God had given them over 40 years of wandering. And he tells them in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 7 regarding the nations they would encounter in Canaan, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Not because God didn't love them. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when it comes to spiritual training and beliefs, distinctions must be made. According to the Bible, a believer must not marry an unbeliever. Somebody who is not afraid of the truth, say amen. And you say to me, well, what is a believer? Let me give you some insight from the pen of inspiration, Letters to Young Lovers, page 87, paragraph 3. Though the companion of your choice was in all other respects worthy, which he is not, yet he has not accepted the truth for his time, he is an unbeliever. Then in a Seventh-day Adventist context, what is an unbeliever? Someone who does not follow present truth. Now, let me repeat quickly. God loves how many people? Everybody. But he told the Israelites, do not marry non-Israelites. Now, if they become Israelites, yes. As a Seventh-day Adventist, you are forbidden by the Bible. You are forbidden by the church. You are forbidden by the spirit of prophecy to marry outside of the church. You are absolutely forbidden. If you are presently involved in such a relationship, in the strength of God, break it off tonight. Don't wait. Tonight, as soon as you leave, send a text and say, I was reminded of something I really knew deep in my heart. I have been misleading you. I have been giving you the impression that my church tolerates that kind of behavior. I apologize and I hereby discontinue this relationship. This is not a discussion. This is an announcement. If you are afraid, invite the young man to this meeting. I will tell him myself. In your presence. Here's what I'll tell him. I'll tell him you're wrong. I'll tell him he has good taste. Are you with me? But I'll tell him you're wrong. But this can't continue. I was in a certain country on the face of the earth. I was preaching and counseling. This young lady came to me. She was involved outside of the church. I told her bluntly, it has to stop. It is offensive to God. She said, but we've been going 2 years. I said, I couldn't care less. It's wrong. I said, call him. She called him. He came. And I told him in front of her, she's wrong. God bless you for thinking high and having good taste. She is wrong. And this cannot continue. And he understood. He shook my hand. And I heard from her 3 months ago. She never went back to him. It is, listen to this frightening statement. Adventist Home, page 67, paragraph 1. What did I say? To connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Do you know what forfeit means? You give it up. Can you afford to have such terrible odds against you in fighting the battle for everlasting life? But some of us are so stubborn. Here's what we say to God. I don't care what you say. I want a man. The daughters of Lot, they essentially said to God, we don't care about thou shalt not commit adultery. We want children and we will sleep with our father to get them. That's how many of us function. I don't care what you say, God. I want a man. I don't care what you say. I want a woman. I don't care what you say. I want a child, whether I have a husband or not. Then we suffer and we blame God. One more quotation and I get off this uncomfortable subject. Letters to Young Lovers, page 83, paragraph 1. I have heard that you are intending to marry a man who is not a believer. I am unable to write you a long letter, but I will say, if you take this step, you depart from the plainest injunction or commandment of Scripture and cannot expect or claim God's blessing on such a union. Let me say it one more time that it may be recorded in heaven. If you are in a mixed relationship, break it off as soon as this service ends. Let me go a little further. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. You read verse 1. I don't want this to turn out to be my sermon, but it's already, what time is it, doctor? 7:20. Genesis 6, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Stop. Genesis 6 introduces the flood. And the reason for the flood, the wickedness of the antediluvian world. But you will observe the only clearly identified sin is mixed marriages. The only clearly identified, I said, not the only, the only clearly identified, the sons of God, descendants of Seth, the holy line, saw the daughters of men, descendants of Cain, that they were fair, attractive, beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Listen to verse 4 and see what that kind of thing leads to. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Now keep this in mind, which were of old men of renown. They became mighty men. Let's look at one example of a mighty man emerging from these mixed marriages. Go to Genesis 10. We'll read from verse 8. I didn't intend to take this long, but this is a matter of great seriousness. Genesis 10, reading from verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. Read the next few words for me. Nice and loud, my King James family. Come on. He began to be a what? A mighty one in the earth. Now listen to Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Not mighty for righteous reasons, mighty for sinful reasons. And the mightiest of the mighty that emerged from mixed marriages was Nimrod, the founder of the first kingdom on earth, and the one who founded what we call Babylon. He was the mighty one, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Nimrod, the result of a mixed marriage, laid the foundation for Babylon. And as an Adventist, you know about Babylon in the book of Revelation. As much as this may irritate you, if you are in a mixed relationship, now if you're married, you can't leave. Are you with me? You can't leave. If you are scheduled to be married tomorrow, break it off tonight. No, I'm not joking. If you're scheduled to marry that person right after the service tonight at 8:30, what am I about to say? Break it off. Listen to me. There is no safer life to live than a life of unquestioning obedience to God. Many of us, we never see the power of God in our lives because we negotiate with God. The Bible says, do not eat the swine. I don't care if science has shown it has more vitamin B than beef. I just don't care. God says, don't eat it. That's how the Christian lives. What did God say? Don't eat it. I don't eat it. God says, avoid alcohol. I avoid alcohol. That's how we're to live, my brothers and my sisters. Under conditions like this, I normally make a call for all those involved in relationships to come and make a commitment to break it off. But I won't do that tonight. No, I do. But you may relax. But I want you to make a commitment tonight. Break it off. As your brother in Christ, I tell you in plain English, you are wrong. It is sin. A Seventh-day Adventist minister is not authorized to marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. Now, he can marry a Baptist and a Catholic. He can marry a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon. He can marry an atheist and a demon. But he can't marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. If he does, he risks having his credentials suspended or revoked permanently. That's how serious the church is. Not because we're better than anyone else. If you're Catholic, marry a Catholic. You're an atheist, marry an atheist. Whatever you are, marry of the same. And if you are Seventh-day Adventist, a member of God's remnant, find a Seventh-day Adventist. And ladies, don't give me this argument, there are no men in the church. And the men outside the church are nicer. No. If you think there are no men in the church, you serve a God who made the first man. Are you with me? You can't find one, he'll make you one. Trust God. Somebody say amen for God. God wants obedience. That's all he wants. Obedience. All right. I am through with that. Do you still love me? Say yes. Okay. All right. I love you too. I want to see you in the kingdom of God. I really do. What time is it, Professor? What? 7 what? 7:30. Give me half an hour. Is that okay? All right. What kind of a man am I? Strange man. Don't say it so loudly. What's this? What am I about to pick up? What do I want you to use? All right. Turn the phone off. Turn the Bible on. Favor number 2, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That's based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What a tremendous privilege it is to know that God puts his words in your mouth. Are you conducting a Bible study during the week? Ask God, Father, put your words in my mouth. By the way, let me suggest something to you that works for me. Before you answer an email or a WhatsApp text, any form of communication, pray. And say, Lord, give me the right words. I am extremely serious. Before you reply to an email, a text, or whatever, from Viber, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, say, Lord, give me the right words to say. Because sometimes messages go to the wrong people. Am I right? Haven't you ever sent a message, you say, oh, that was not intended for him or her. Ask God, give me the right words, so that your words always savor of life unto life. Favor number 3, I want you to think as you listen. Think very deeply. Think microscopically. Let the truth be taught to you by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, I have spoken very boldly to your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. Help them to understand, Father, my first responsibility is to you. I must answer to you, dear God, for what I say. And so I ask you, Father, that you would take what I've said, harsh as it was, and apply to their hearts, dear God, that they may see the saving value in obeying God, doing things your way. Now, as I present this brief message, speak through me very directly, dear God, where I have offended you, Father, forgive me, Father. Give me hatred for sin, and give me a love for righteousness that is greater than my love for life. I offer this prayer, also asking you to pronounce a special blessing on all our guests. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Genesis chapter 2, reading verse 7, our subject, help from above. What did I say? Help from above. Quickly. Genesis 2 verse 7. You know it without looking. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's reread that verse. This time we shall read it closely, microscopically. Then I'll ask you a question or two. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Question for you, how many things did God do in that verse? Quickly, quickly. Listen to the verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How many things did God do in that verse? Two. What were they? He formed man, then he breathed into his nostrils. Very good. He formed man from what? The dust of the ground. Where was the dust of the ground? On the earth. Beneath. What was the second act that God carried out? He breathed. Where's the breath from? Where's God from? Above. Here's what I want you to fix in your mind. When God made man, God built into mankind's creation this lesson. The life that God desires of us is a life that is energized from power by power from above. A life lived disconnected from heaven is not life, it's just existence. Let me try to say that more simply. To live the life as God desires life to be lived, there must be cooperation between heaven and earth, or heaven and earth. The dirt from the earth, the breath from above. This is God's ideal. Heaven and earth working together, not necessarily for the benefit of heaven, but for the elevation and the blessing of earth. When God made Adam, it did not improve God. You can't improve God. But it did something for Adam. As Adam obeyed, he grew. When he sinned, he declined. Obedience is for our blessing, is for our growth. Cooperation with God is for our advancement. God does not advance. God does not grow. God does not improve. God is God. Let me repeat. The life God desires you and me to live, the ideal life, is a life lived in cooperation with heaven. And so the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the creation of Adam, as I said, is built in the lesson that a meaningful life requires contact with heaven. Another lesson was built into the creation of man. Let me ask you this. When Adam stood up, alive, walked around, what was he made of? Dust. Did God add any more dust to Adam? No. No. He had all the dust he needed. Are you following me? We'll see, yes or no. All right. Did God have to add breath to Adam? Did Adam have to keep breathing? Did he have to keep adding dirt? No. Where did the breath come from? Now, in other words, God is teaching us that which comes from heaven must be resupplied. How often? Come on. Don't embarrass me like this. That which comes from heaven must be resupplied. How often? Moment by moment. Question for you. If I lose a leg, can I still live life? Yes. If I lose both legs, can I still live? Yes. When I lose a leg, what have I lost? Let's see who's thinking. What have I lost? Dust. That's all I've lost. Dust. Makes it difficult for me to jump and play basketball, but I've just lost dust. If I lost both legs, can I live? Yes. So the essence of life is not the dust. is the breath. If I lose both legs and both arms, can I live? If I lose both legs, both arms, both ears, can I live? Yes. If I lose the breath, can I live? No. Then what's the lesson God has built into the creation of man? You must depend on me moment. Every breath reminds you of God. This is no joke. God made us in such a way that every breath is designed to remind us of our dependence upon God, of our need for a cooperative relationship with heaven. To remind us that without heaven, we are nothing. With this in mind, as we consider sacrifice and service, you know, Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. I want to give you some courage tonight to let you know that when you decide to work for God, you are not alone. God is present in the person of His Spirit and His angels to assist the child of God who desires to do God's work, to serve Him, whether directly or by the jobs you do, by the life you live, by your classroom activities, whatever it is, God is always poised to assist. Because the earth, the effort coming from earth is only meaningful to God if it is mingled with divine power. Let me say that differently. God's desire for us is that human effort be mingled with divine power in everything we do except sin. When it comes to sin, we need no help from God. Let me explain what I mean. That heaven is always ready to assist the earth. Let us go to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel 8, let's go there quickly. Our subject is what? Help from above. Daniel 8, we read from verse 14. By the way, Daniel 8, 14 is identified by the spirit of prophecy as the single most important Bible verse in the theology of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Here's what she writes in Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1. The scripture which above all other had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent movement was the declaration unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That verse, above all others, is the foundation stone of what we know in this church as present truth. And so the verse says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And Daniel heard one saint, according to verse 13, speaking to another saint, and giving this answer in the one sense, saying, how long shall be division concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Verse 13. And the answer comes, 2,300 days. Now, Daniel is seeing this vision. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then before me they stood as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Stop. This, Daniel 8:14, was part of a vision that Daniel did not fully understand. That along with the activities of what the Bible calls the little horn. And I can't get into all of that tonight. Daniel could not understand. But I want you to observe what Daniel did. Let's read verse 15 again carefully as we continue. Help from above. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel. Now, remember what the Bible says about Daniel. As for Daniel, God gave him knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's what the Bible says. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. But despite that, which we read in Daniel 1:17, Daniel was stumped by this part of the vision. And so the verse says, it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Now notice the next few words. And sought. What? For the meaning. Think of those words. He saw the vision. And he sought. For the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody talk to me quickly. He what? All right. Someone said he sought help from God. He sought for the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, I won't leave this place tonight. What do you understand by he sought for the meaning? Huh? He tried to what? Understand. It's essential that you understand. Daniel tried to understand first before God did something. Listen to the sequence of events. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. You see the assignment your professor gives you. You see what your mother tells you to do. You see what your boss assigns you to do for the next, I don't know, budgetary period. And sought for the meaning. He tried to understand. He exercised his brain. This man with a special talent for understanding dreams and visions. He tried, the Bible says, he sought for the meaning. When he had exhausted his ability and still could not understand. The verse goes on to say, then this stood before me as the appearance of a man. Verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, what? Come on, nice and loud. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that. A voice cried out and spoke to whom? Gabriel. What did the voice say? Make this man to understand the vision. Why do I feel as though I'm talking to myself tonight? Are you listening to me? Who's Gabriel? The highest angel in heaven. Desire of Ages, page 693, paragraph 3. The mighty angel who stands in God's presence, occupying the position for which Lucifer fell, came to the side of Christ. That was Gabriel. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 2. It was Gabriel, the angel next in rank to Christ, who came with a divine message to Daniel. When Gabriel came to Zacharias, the man who would be the father of John the Baptist, when he told him he'd have a son, Zacharias said in verse 18, whereby shall I know this of Luke 1? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, Luke 1:19, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. What was he saying? I am not a little angel from the lowest level in heaven. Do you know who you're talking to? I am the angel that stands closest to God. This was the man who was told what? Make this man to understand the vision. Question for you. Listen to these words. Make this man to understand the vision. Seven words. Combine those words. What do you have? I'm not coming back to PNG. No, you know I'm coming back as soon as I can. Listen again. Listen to the way I say it. Make this man to understand the vision. Now, those seven words are what? A command. Somebody commanded the highest angel. Let's reason. If Gabriel is the highest angel, who alone can command Gabriel? God. Now, listen to me. Can Gabriel disobey? No. So what did Gabriel have to do? Make Daniel, come on, understand. Or he would have disobeyed the command. I feel so lonely up here tonight. Not even my family is with me tonight. This side. Father, bless your people. Listen to what I just said. If Gabriel had failed to make Daniel understand, he would have disobeyed God. Because God commanded him, make this man to understand. What does this have to do with you? Daniel was a man just like you. He tried. When he exhausted the limits of his ability, God stepped in and gave him help from the highest created being in heaven, Gabriel himself. God is no respecter of persons, as we continue with help from above. When you do your best for God and you reach the outer limits of your ability, God is duty bound to send you help from above. That's not the only time God did that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Our subject, help from above. What time is it? Nice and loud. 10 to 8. Okay. Matthew 4. Are you there? Reading from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, read it with me. What did he say? Come on. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now you'll observe the Bible says, after he had fasted 40 days. By the way, the devil is very strategic. He comes at you at the right time and at the right place. He did not come to Christ on the first day of the fast. Christ would have been too strong. He came 40 days after. Now, he failed temptation one. He tried temptation two. He failed. He tried three. He failed. Let's read verse 11 of Matthew 4. Let me show you how God comes to the aids of human beings. Matthew 4, verse 11. What does the Bible say? Then the devil, what? Leaveth him. Keep reading. And behold, come on, angels, what? And ministered unto. Now, why? Where was Jesus? In the wilderness. According to Mark, in Mark 1, verse 13, he was there with the wild beasts. There were no disciples, not his mother. There was no human being to sustain Christ as he collapsed after the third temptation. God will not leave a human being alone. Very often God helps us by sending other human beings. When that option is not available, God will send help from above. If that's clear, say amen. God sent angels not because Jesus was his son, because Jesus was a human being in need of help. And the same Jesus who said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, meaning all of us should live by God's word, God will deal with us as he dealt with Jesus if we depend on God. As Jesus did. And so Jesus received help from above. Because no human help was possible. Let's look at God doing the same thing again. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Our subject, help from above. I'm saying this so that as you serve God, you need the confidence that you are never alone. If human assistance is not available, God will send help from above. Literally. Luke 22, reading from verse 41. This is Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Read verse 43. What does that say? And there appeared what? An angel from where? Yes. Doing what? Strengthening him. Why? Why send an angel? With whom did Jesus enter the garden? 11 disciples. He left 8 at a gate, took Peter, James, and John further in. Then he left them, and he went off by himself at a short distance. He had at least Peter, James, and John within sight of him. They could see his face. But what were they doing? They were sleeping. How many times did Jesus go to them for help? Three times. Each time he came, they were snoring. Now, this is Christ suffering not as God. He's suffering as man. No man who is faithful to God will be allowed to suffer alone. What did God do? What did God do? He sent an angel. Not because Jesus was his son, because Jesus was a child of his in need of help, and no human help was available. My brothers and sisters, if God can't find a human being to send to assist you, he will send an angel. Somebody say amen. Because there's always help from where? Above. He never leaves us alone. When you walk the streets as a colporteur, knocking on doors, selling books that can transform lives, you have to understand there's an unseen power walking with you. Assuming your life is right with God. When you're conducting that Bible study and the entire class is against you and you calmly present the scriptures reasonably, there's an unseen power assisting you and giving power to your words. My brothers, my sisters, listen to me carefully. The God you serve never leaves you alone. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what flesh shall do unto me. God is our helper, a very present help in the time of trouble. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In every circumstance, the child of God can expect help from above. Not just in Bible study and selling books as a literary evangelist. In the living of your life. Remember what I said at the beginning of my remarks? God's desire is that your life and mine be lived in cooperation with him. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Let's say that again. Ye are laborers. We are laborers together with God. Let me explain what I mean. Here's a Christian woman. She works with God in raising her children. She works with God in running her home. She works with God if she has a job outside the home. She is a partner with God in everything she does. She's a laborer together with God. Or here's a man, head of the home. He commits his family to God every night and every morning. Why? Because he realizes to lead his family effectively, he must lead under the leadership of God. So he's a laborer together with God in directing his family. He disciplines his children in collaboration with God. He works in collaboration with God. He functions as an elder or a deacon or a treasurer as a laborer with God. There is no aspect of your life or my life that we should live alone. Let me be. Your sex life, if you're married, say amen. It's weak. Say it again. Your very sex life should be in cooperation with God. You just can't abuse your wife every time an animal passion gets up in you. Because she belongs to God first, not you. Somebody say amen. She is God's property first. You can't be an animal sensually. Every aspect of the life must be expressed in collaboration with God. There is no exception. Your recreational life in collaboration with God. My brothers and sisters, when we live like that, we become instruments by which God blesses the world. He blesses us, and through us, He blesses the world. I'll give an example, then I'll let you go. I'm sure it's past 8 o'clock. What time is it? 5 after 8 or 10? 8 after 8. All right. Give me 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Go to Genesis 39 quickly. Genesis 39. I'll try to let you go earlier tomorrow night as my way of confessing my sins for holding you long tonight. Genesis 39, do you have that? You're so slow. Come on, come on. When I get back home, I'll tell my people that people in PNG are slow to find the books of the Bible. All right, do you have Genesis 39? Reading verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now Joseph is a slave. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Stop. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 again. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's cooperation. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master, that's the Egyptian, the pagan, the unbeliever, the heathen, he saw. If the unbeliever does not see Christ in you, there's a problem with you. Not the unbeliever. Listen to me carefully. When God dwells in his children, the presence of God must be so powerful, no one can avoid it. God's presence cannot be avoided. If the presence of God is in me and you, it must be sensed at least, even by the unbeliever. And so the Bible says, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Now, that's a laborer together with God. Whatever Joseph did, it is God that made it prosper. Here's what Ellen White writes. Beautiful quotation. Education, page 138, paragraph 2. Thus, our business or calling are a part of God's great plan. And so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. How many times we conduct seminars and we go to meetings and conferences, waste a lot of time trying to figure out how to be more productive. For the Christian, the key to productivity is to work with God and to follow God's guidelines. Listen again to the words of inspiration. Thus our business or calling are a part of God's great plan. And so long as it is conducted in accordance with his will, he himself is responsible for the results. God guarantees success when we work with him, when we are laborers together with God. And so my brothers and sisters, our subject tonight, help from above in everything you do. Whether you're giving a Bible study, you're going from door to door selling books, or you're pursuing some academic degree, or you're working a farm, or you're trying to start a family, do it as a laborer together with God. In other words, God is senior, you are junior. He lays down the principles you follow. As in the life of Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, and Joseph served him, and he found grace in his sight. The master was so pleased with Joseph. All that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. Read verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. When you and I work with God, those in our environment are blessed by our presence. I said it clumsily. Nobody said amen. Let me say it again. Now, in Genesis 39, three times Potiphar is called the Egyptian. Clearly, Moses wants us to understand there's a contrast between Potiphar and Joseph. The Bible says, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house. When you put a child of God in charge of something, you've made the smartest choice or smartest hire you can possibly make. But it has to be a child of God, not just a church member. Those are frequently two different things. Not every church member is a child of God. Because the ones who said, crucify him, were church members. They were not children of God. They were children of devil. Now, Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything, the Bible says, and God blessed everything Potiphar had. Why? Because Potiphar's house was run by a man who worked in collaboration with God. And Joseph got all the help he could from above. We could go on to his experience in the prison where God did the same thing for him. Because Joseph never changed his method of operation. In Potiphar's house, he worked with God. In the prison, he worked with God. And God blessed him. God blessed the prison. Eventually, God took him to the leadership of the nation of Egypt. My brothers and sisters, live your life as a co-laborer with God. Commit every aspect of your life to God. Here's one area I love to hit because it's so popular among the young people. Commit your romantic life to God. Let God be the chaperone wherever you go. Let him decide where you go. You plan to do an educational course, university to study, something or other. Why? You do that in cooperation with God. Everything. And you will have a steady flow of help from above that will bless your life. But bless your life so torrentially, so powerfully, that everyone in your area will be blessed. Wherever a child of God is found, that should be a blessed spot. I was on a plane several years ago. A funny thing happened, as I talk about wherever a child of God is should be a blessed spot. And I sat down, and I'm sitting there looking quite serious as I can. I always fly in a suit. That's my uniform. So I'm sitting there looking official, or trying to look official. And it's very serious, and sitting there. This lady came and sat next to me, looked at me. She said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. She said, oh, good. I said, why? In case of turbulence. That's what she said. In case the plane starts to do that, I want to be next to a preacher. So what I'm saying to you is, when we're faithful to God, wherever we are, that should be a blessed spot. Can you say amen? Let wherever you are be a blessed spot in PNG. Let the church of God say amen. Never be a curse. Never let your presence be a pitfall, quicksand. Let wherever you are be solid ground, safe ground for those around you. Why? Because you're standing there with your God. And when you stand with your God, you are the recipient of a constant stream of help from where? Above. My brothers and sisters, one more time, commit every aspect of your life to God. Tonight, every aspect. And if there's some area of your life you're running without God, confess, change your attitude, put God in charge. He who knows the end from the beginning will bless your life will guide and direct you and will keep you from 1,000 dangers. I recommit my life to God now. Everything about me to God, asking Him, continue to be the senior partner in my life. You lay down the directions, Father. Give me the strength to follow. Let me work with you, that through my life, glory may come to your name and blessing to your people. My brothers and sisters of any age, if you can understand what I'm saying, how many of you will say, Father, here is my life. Take it. Let's work together. You as the senior partner, I as the junior partner. May I see your right hand? Mm-hmm. Do you mean that, yes or no? Stand up and confirm that you raised your hand by standing. Let's confirm it. Father, here's my life. You be the senior partner, dear God. I'll be the junior partner. I'll be the visible partner, but you're the invisible power behind me. I say it one more time, then I pray. A life led by God is the safest life to live. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Do everything God's way. Think of God first. And if you're not sure what God's way is, this is where the details are found to acquaint you with God's way. Heads bowed, eyes closed.
Amen, brothers and sisters. I pray that you were blessed. I was truly blessed by this message. Praise the Lord. I pray that you took notes. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to be co-labor with you, Lord. This is message like this that we need to take, to be charged up, oh Father, to search our heart, to search ourself, oh Lord, to see where we have went wrong, where we had took paths that was not according to your will and made decision that was not according to your will. Help us to wait upon you in all things, oh Lord. Father, like Joseph, where he was, those around him was blessed, oh Father. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Help us truly to co-labor with you, Lord. May thy will be done in our life, O Lord. Help us to truly see our work to you, Lord, and our work to our brothers and sisters, our work to those that don't know you and have not received you as their personal Savior. Lord, we have a mighty work to do, and you will use the weakest to do the work. But let us be found in you and only you, Lord. Today, we are flick our soul to today. We confess our sins, oh Lord, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we give our life to you. Take it, because we cannot give it, Lord. Mold us and shape us into the man, the woman, the child, the youth that you will have us to be, oh Father. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We glorify, we magnify your name, Lord, because you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you for this holy Sabbath. We thank you for all your blessings, all your mercies and your love, knowing and unknowing. You have truly blessed us. You have provided everything that we need, and we need nothing else, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have a good night, brothers and sisters. Jesus love you. Be blessed. Happy Sabbath. Take care. Bye-bye.